went to, what is it, University of Vermont in St. Johnsbury. And he had to get a job to help work himself through college, and he ended up being a DJ at the college. And I think, I can't remember exactly why he got a job being a DJ. I mean, obviously he loved music, he needed a job too. But I think one of the reasons St. Joseph was because he had a better record collection than the school did. So it was kind of funny. We'd go up there for ski weekends and stuff, and he'd have to take a few hours off to work a gig. And it's kind of funny listening to a guy that you grew up with ever since you were 14 years old, listening to him be an announcer on the radio, you know, and playing commercials and playing, and here's a tune I think you're really going to like. And I think back then, too, it was kind of like, late 70s, et cetera. I mean, up in Vermont, there was a lot of radio stations these days have a very specific format. Everything was programmed. Back then, it was Dan taking some records off the shelf and deciding what he wanted to play ahead of time, or maybe not. And just when a song came to the end, he had another turntable to put it on and put on that song, and he'd play back to back again. A lot of it seemed to be, everything from folk, not really folk, but like acoustic rock to hard rock to jazz seemed to be the biggest one, like all throughout since I've known Dan, seemed to be the biggest ones. Bluegrass and everything else too, but I'd say folk rock, jazz, and hard rock were the biggest ones, not so much hard rock. So it'd be funny, he'd play something by Miles Davis back to back with, like a Neil Young song. And I remember Loggins and Messina were really big back then. Dan was a really big Loggins and Messina fan. He was the first one that had that double album. And by then, his guitar playing in college was really progressing. And I remember the only two friends that I had that played guitar really well were Dan Harpel and Tim Coffey. And Tim kept going down his route of playing exactly like Neil Young and Jorma Kekkonen, where Dan played all different styles. He could play like Jimi Hendrix, Frank Zappa, Neil Young, or just play strumming along in the guitar. And I remember bunches of people used to go up to visit him at a time, including like your Uncle Chuck and everything else. You'd go up and spend the weekends up in college, and there'd be like eight people sleeping on the floor of a dorm room. And Dan would just sit there and play guitar, and we'd all just kind of hang around and listen to him. It was pretty good. And in college, he even had a better stereo, which was better than anybody in the colleges. So that's how much music meant to him. All right.
Well, he said he was into classical, too. Did you see that?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, I forgot about that. For a while, I might be mistaken, but I think he was really getting into playing classical guitar. I didn't see it as much because I think he played it most on his own, but I remember that. Oh, and you know what? Something I've totally missed is that Dan always used to play the keyboards too. It's just that when we were around, you usually don't have a piano in your dorm room or over at your friend's house or something like that. But he was a pretty good keyboard player too. And I remember he used to kind of mix. I guess the thing that really impressed me was just mixing the different styles. So classical too, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Kind of mixing that all together to see, he kind of had like his own unique sound, and if he didn't get involved in business and everything else he did, he probably would have been a pretty successful musician. I mean, pretty darn successful, like making his own style, you know?
Okay.
All